It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's still a little under the weather, but getting better. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed. And we'll go straight to the phone because we do have Mr. Brian Smith online with us. He's the sales manager at UJ Chevrolet. Brian, how are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing good. Hanging in there. Hanging in.
Nothing wrong with that.
So how's life up front? We don't get to see a whole lot. We don't intermingle like we used to.
I know, and it's driving me a little bit crazy not being able to go everywhere that I used to and, you know, talk to everybody that I like to talk to, those on the backside as much. So
yeah,
just a little bit different, but everything's going good, all things considered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a little strange not knowing how the other half's living right now, but, you know, we're just having to do what we need to do and try and keep everybody safe and healthy, you know.
Absolutely.
So the good sign to me is that we've actually had some inventory rolling in. You know, the parking lot looks way better.
it does. You know, all things, and I hate to say all things considered again, but all things considered, we have a great inventory right now. Naturally, as you know, with everything shutting down back in March and April, we still had vehicles, but now with the plants that were shut down in March, April, and part of May,
right. As
the supply lines came back online and everything started working its way through distribution, up front-wise, we didn't start feeling the effects until May, June, and July.
Right.
And really recovering from it right now, but we have a very good selection of the vehicles that we always do real well with. Equinox, we've got plenty of. Traverse, we have a great inventory. Pickup trucks, we have those rolling in, it seems like, daily. I think one day I saw four or five trucks roll in and dropping off full loads of pickup trucks, which was a great sign to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's one of our biggest movers, and, you know, we were getting a little thin there on trucks, but, we do have a pretty good selection of, and I don't mind saying on air that I just kind of rode by the other local Chevrolet dealer here in town that their inventory doesn't look near as good as ours does.
It doesn't. And I've actually heard – I've had several customers who have come in and said, you know, hey, I've looked online at Across the Bay or in parts of Mississippi and at other dealers in Mobile, and they just don't have anything. And I say, absolutely, I've heard – you're not the first person to tell me that, but
right.
We're here to take care of you. And if you've never done business with us before, trust me, you're going to like the experience, and you're really going to like it after dealing with the service department also.
Yeah, I mean, that's I've worked for several dealers here in Mobile, and, you know, I have to say that UJ seems to care more and do more for their customers than any of the other ones I've worked for.
You know, I've always thought that. It seems like just obviously I don't deal with the back end the way y'all do, but it seems like I hear more customers come back and say, the reason I'm buying here is because of your service department.
Right.
And that always makes me feel good to hear that, you know, people still recognize the service that you get nowadays, and they're willing to reward those who provide great service.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a value to being able to buy a vehicle and have it serviced at the same place, you know. Not that you get something warranted that wouldn't be warranted normally, but, you know, if you bought it from us and you make an appointment, you'll get your car in quicker, you know.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I tell people all the time up front, and I said, you know, I'm not saying I'm not going to work on it, because I'll gladly take your money to get it serviced. But if two people come in at one time and one's from another Chevrolet dealership and one is our customer,
right?
I don't think I have to tell you who's going first.
Yeah, yeah. And any reasonable person's going to understand that. You know, that's
absolutely.
You know, it's all about, I understand that you bought a Chevrolet just like the other person, but, you know, the people that make the effort to come and do business with us are the ones that we're going to take care of first, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you've had such a great service experience with us, then, you know, to me, it would make sense that is going to translate also through the buying process. And I don't mind telling, and I tell people this all the time,
mm-hmm.
that I know buying a vehicle is very stressful. Typically, the second largest purchase an individual makes in their lifetime.
Right.
And, Kevin, I don't know if I've ever told you, you know who I saw stressed the most about buying a vehicle? Was myself when I had to get my wife that Traverse that she had. I knew I could afford it.
Yeah.
It was just the process that now the shoe's on the other foot.
Right.
And it, you know, is this the right one? You know, is she going to be happy with it? You know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you were in the same boat that I was when I bought my wife her first new Equinox when I started up there. I hadn't made a car payment in God knows how long. So, you know, and I have not bought a new car. And, well, that was actually the first new one that I personally bought. I just haven't. That wasn't something that I felt like I had to have, you know. You know, from the background and what I did for a living, you know, it made more sense for me to buy one that was a few years old, you know, maybe had some problems, fix it, you know, and it was cheaper and easier for me to do that. And, you know, but this, you know, I wanted my wife to have something nice that didn't have to worry about. And if we needed to get in it and go somewhere, we could, you know.
I get it, and I don't mind admitting it, and I'm dreading it. I'm having to get my wife a new vehicle. Her lease is up, and I'm going back with the exact same vehicle, the exact same trim. The only thing I'm changing is the color.
Right.
Already know how much her new lease is going to be, and it's really hardly any difference.
Right.
And I'm stressing about it. I am stressing about it, and it's. I guess it's just the fact of, all right, here's a new one. And that's why I tell people all the time, I know it's a stressful situation. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be a stressful situation because nobody likes that.
Right.
It's, you know, we're going to treat you fair. We're going to take care of you. And we're not going to put that undue pressure on you because that's not cool at the end of the day. I don't like it. And if I don't like it and I do this every day, why would I expect somebody who doesn't do it every day to like it?
Right. Well, you know, it doesn't have to be a high pressure situation. You know, you're there because you need the product. You need a vehicle.
Right.
You know, so, you know, if everybody just works together, I mean, it can be a pleasant experience, you know.
That's it.
You know, it doesn't have to be
absolutely
loaded up with stress and that. Just come in. It's a very low key, situation up there. You know, there's no one pressuring you to, you got to buy now, you know, this is, you know, if you don't buy now, it's going to be gone, or we're, you know, the price will be different if you don't sign here. Yeah.
Absolutely. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I know we're fixing to get close to taking a break here in about a minute, but, we still have some of the new Tahoes up there, don't we?
I have actually sold all of our new Tahoes, I guess I know we're coming up against a break, but maybe when we pop back on, I can tell you about a couple of the cool features on some of these new vehicles that we've had come out.
Yeah.
I know we haven't really been able to talk about them since the COVID-19 pandemic, but between the Corvette that hit to the new Tahoes, the Suburbans coming out, and even the Trailblazers.
Right.
That is coming. A lot of new technology rolling out.
Right, right. Yeah, they do. You know, a lot of the high-tech toys as well as the mechanical features as well. But, you know, it's...
That's something I'd be very curious to hear your take on, because for me, to see the new technology is like, wow, that's really cool. Don't ask me how it operates, because all I know is I just push this button and it does it. That's where I leave it up to y'all.
right,
to tell me how it all worked.
Yeah, it makes it interesting on my end, but we are up against a break, and we're going to take a break, and after we get back, we're going to get into that a little more. But I want to let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
They just naturally think they should, because they figure any place a truck driver eats, the food's just got to be good. So they go in there amongst all them truck drivers, sitting around talking low. They're talking about women and stuff like that.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's on the mend, but hopefully we'll have him back in here for long. And we still have Brian Smith online with us. Brian, you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, good, good, good. While we were on break there, I heard from one of our listeners, a very sweet lady, that called to thank us for mentioning the gas nozzle adapter that's in the cars. I don't know if you even noticed it, but in the glove box with all the new cars, there's a little plastic adapter, little nozzle-looking thing, and it's there for you to put on the gas nozzle and put into the car in case you run into one that won't fit in these capless systems. That has to be a specific size on the gas nozzle for it to work right. And luckily she heard us and found one, and it wasn't a couple days later she needed it. So, but
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was always good to hear from a listener, and glad that we were able to bring something on the air that helped her out. But that's what we're here for. But
absolutely.
But yeah, we've got a lot of new technology coming, and we always do, you know. Here over the last couple of years, it just seems like they're just throwing it in there by the bucket full. So
it really is. And I'll tell you, it is for us up front, where we're in these vehicles day in, day out, just, you know, in a different capacity than what y'all are back there.
Right.
It is absolutely crazy to see the amount of technology and the way it is rapidly changing in the vehicles from, you know, a 20-year model to the 2021.
Right.
And it is mind-boggling at some of the things that they are coming out with, and just some of the best safety features out there that I think are really going to be revolutionary in the way they change, and especially with the way that they are becoming standard now, and how young drivers, as they grow up, are what they're going to be accustomed to as being standard.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's, and you see it more than I do, but, we get customers in the back all the time that's like, well, you know, I just bought this thing and I traded in a, 8-year-old whatever, you know, is like, I don't know how to work any of this stuff. So, and it's a whole different world from just an 8-year-old car that they may have traded in, you know.
It really is. And Kevin, I tell people all the time, if you have a vehicle that's more than 3 to 5 years older, mm-hmm. when you get inside these new ones, chances are you're not going to recognize anything.
Right.
From the radio screen, I mean, the radio doesn't have a CD player anymore. Why does it not have a CD player? Because for a CD that can hold on average of 20 songs, now we've got a device in our pocket that can hold thousands and thousands of songs.
Right.
And there's no need for a CD player. Navigation systems going away. Why? Because this device we walk around with has an updated GPS system on it all the time that will pair to the radio screen and show your maps and your navigation right there on the screen. It's mind-boggling how quickly it's all changed.
Well, you know, and that's one thing that people don't think about is, okay, it's nice to have that built-in navigation system in the vehicle that you just punch in whatever. But the problem is, okay, that car was designed and built, and that system was designed and built, just say 6 months ago on the navigation system. Well, they're building roads every day in neighborhoods.
Absolutely.
Every day. Yeah. by the time you've got it, it's already 6 months old. A year down the road, you know, it's a year and a half behind. And, you know, okay, you want to get it updated. Well, you got to buy an update, you know, for it.
Yeah.
Whereas with your phone, it's updated daily. I mean, it's constantly Absolutely. Updated. You've got new information there. It plugs up and it pops up on the screen just like your built-in navigation system.
It really does. And the thing that I like the most about it is I'm an iPhone guy. Mm-hmm. I know you're an Android guy, that you have an Android phone.
Right.
But with an iPhone, when I connect my phone to it, my radio screen now looks identical to the way my iPhone looks. So I know where everything is.
Right.
Same way with Android Auto. Same mm-hmm. exact way. I don't know if you heard, but the 2021 Tahoes and the upcoming 2021 Silverado,
yeah,
where we have to connect our phones for Apple CarPlay or Android Auto.
Right.
No cable is needed now.
Really?
Connect your it's all wireless.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. That's definitely going to be neat.
It is. I did get the pleasure to drive a Tahoe for about an hour and just see how it worked, and it was pretty cool to have it. And no, now I don't have this big white cable hanging off
the
side of the console.
Yep. Well, you know, and I keep my phone in my pocket. That's just kind of where it stays. You know, it pairs to the vehicle when I get in it. So, you know, I've got most all that information there. But if I wanted to hook the navigation or something up or do my Android Auto, you know, I have to break the cable out, plug it up, you know, and do all that. And, you know, I'm lazy. Once I get in the car, I'm not going to do that every time I climb in the car.
Right.
I know me. I'm not going to do it, you know. But that's going to be neat that if you don't have to do that, those are features that you'll use way more often, you know, than if you actually had to hardwire it to it. And, you know, I'm not a techno guy. You know, I'm not the one that's going to play with all the new toys all the time. But I have gotten to where, you know, if I'm going somewhere, just give me an address. Yeah, don't try and give me directions or anything. If you give me an address, I'll punch it in and I'll get there, you know?
Yeah. Kevin, I hate to admit it. I've gotten to be the lazy one where if I need directions to something, mm-hmm. I won't even pull out the phone and say, hey, you know, I need or look up the address to say somewhere in New Orleans.
Right.
Now I'll just say, hey, Siri, I need directions to, you mm-hmm. know, the aquarium in New Orleans.
Right.
And all I have to do is just tell Siri where to go and she'll load it and off I go.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, it's, you know, the technology has really been nice. And if you'll embrace it, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, you know, so, I probably don't embrace it as much as I should, but, I'm coming around, you know. It's the toys are nice. They really are. And, you know, one thing I noticed in the new Tahoe the other day when I climbed in it and looked, the radio screen on that thing is huge.
It is.
You know, it's way bigger than the older ones. You know, those old guys, we can actually see it, you know. So,
It's impressive. I'm really looking forward to the entertainment systems that are coming with the Tahoes.
Right.
And especially the Suburbans because, you know, at the end of the day, those are vehicles that are built for families, hauling kids around, taking road trips to Disney World or things like that. And it has been a total game changer. You can have the kids watching different screens, same screen, streaming Netflix or a game system while driving down the road, and it's phenomenal. It is absolutely phenomenal. I've seen a demonstration of it, but I have not had a chance to put my hands on one yet, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I tell you, it's and that's really the game changer is being able to get out and spend some real time with it. Yeah, that's one of the things I do like about being able to drive a demo is that I do get to go out and play with some of these features and that on the vehicles. So when a customer does come in with questions, I'm a little more versed in what's going on with them. Us on the service side, when new technology is coming out, we're a little more focused on the mechanical side of it, and the functionality of the electronics and that kind of thing, more so than the what they do. We have to worry about how they what makes them work, not necessarily exactly what they do. So
absolutely. I do have to tell you, it was kind of funny. As you know, I've got a 4-year-old son, mm-hmm. and I had him with me, and his mom had ran into the store one day, and it was when the new body style trucks had just came out.
Uh-huh.
And so I had Noah up front with me, just letting him hang out so he wasn't strapped in the car seat.
Right.
And all of a sudden, he hit a button, and the rearview mirror changed from being an actual mirror to a camera. I was like, whoa, that's weird.
Yeah.
And so I asked him, Noah, what button did you just hit? And he said, this one, Daddy.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, here's a 4-year-old showing me something that I didn't even know about this truck. And it was quite impressive to play with and see and learn and, just see how these things operate.
Oh, absolutely. And that was one of the first time, one of the first times I saw that, it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. To me, it takes a little getting used to, because I'm so used to using my mirrors, and I judge what's behind me by, I know where, okay, my truck is because I can see it in that mirror versus what's behind me, to now I have a camera that's looking behind it, and this is a screen that's just kind of showing me an image behind my vehicle. So it takes a little getting used to, but it gives you such a, so much more of a better image of what's going on behind you. So
it does.
Yeah.
Well, I do have to tell you, we did order a 2500 today for someone with the invisible trailer system.
Really? Yeah. That's going to be neat. That's going to be neat.
So it's really cool. I don't know who's more excited to see it, the customer or myself, because I just want to see how it operates.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds like it's time for us to take a break, but we're going to take a break and let everyone hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's not with us tonight, but he is getting better, and we hope to have him back in studio for long. But Mr. Brian Smith did have to take off. Well, I do appreciate him calling in and talking with us this evening. It was a lot of good information. Always good to hear from our sales manager from UJ Chevrolet. Always glad to have him on board. But I tell you, we've been fighting everything, trying to keep things going on the service department. Think we've done a pretty good job. We got hit with a few people getting knocked out there for a little while. Some of it, was from some illnesses. Some of it was just scheduled, things they had to get done and take off, but it put a little hurting on us there in service. But we're working through it. It's everybody's getting back on board. Myself, I was out sick there for just a little bit. Had to take a few days off here and there, but getting better, and we'll move through. Yeah, so it's all part of it. But we did have. Dave from Gulf Shores sent in a little comment about I've never missed a scheduled maintenance, which I don't know if I'd go that far, but he said, I think everybody has. And that kind of brought up a point on one that we looked at today, that a car that was really just out of base warranty, still well within its powertrain warranty, but come in with a vacuum pump that was locked up, which actually stalled the camshaft and stalled the and actually moved the reluctor on the end of the camshaft, pulled it down, looking at it, and this car has not been maintained. 38,000 miles, and it was pretty gummed up inside. The oil had been changed at least once because it did not have the original oil filter on it. But if it had been changed much more than that, I'd be surprised. Yeah, so, you know, it just goes to say that no matter how many miles you have on your car, it's all about how you maintain it. That's why I preach every week here to get your maintenance done on your cars. And I'm not a fan of going by the oil life maintenance on your car. Ours are set up to go somewhere around 7,500 miles. To me, that's way too far. Way ours is set up, we set up ours in service is every 5,000. My personal vehicles, I change them every 3. Yeah. one thing I have never seen hurt a vehicle is change oil too often. Yeah. The keeping fresh oil in the fresh oil filter in a vehicle, I'll argue with anybody all day long that it's better for it. It's synthetic oil. Yeah, it costs me a little bit to get the oil changed every 3,000 miles, but I've been driving a long time, put a bunch of miles on a bunch of vehicles. I have yet to have an oil-related failure on any of my vehicles ever. So I push my vehicles. I've run a lot of my cars really hard for long periods of time and not been the best at opening the hood and checking the oil and doing the things I'm supposed to do. But when it was time to get the oil changed, I got the oil changed. And have never had an oil-related failure. The worst thing I think I've ever done to one of my personal vehicles is I burned a piston in my 90-model Chevrolet truck. But, you know, when you're pulling a trailer at close to 90-plus mile an hour for a long period of time in the middle of summer when it's really hot and it already has almost 200,000 miles on the motor, I guess I can't fault it too much. So... I didn't feel bad about it. You know, like I said, no one ever wants to break anything, but, that was not an oil related failure. That was my fault on that one. Yeah. So, but you know, it's the truck had served its life well. And, that one, I fixed it, moved on, built a new motor and moved on with that one. But, you know, it just goes to show that, my son's driving my last truck. He's got it out in Texas, got 240,000 miles on it. Still has not had any kind of oil related, you know, or engine mechanical issues with it. Never had so much as a valve cover pulled off of it. So, you know, and this is a truck that I run for several years, put probably close to 100,000 miles on it myself after I bought it used. The vehicle, I can't complain about it. You know, it's been a good truck. It's been a good truck for him. Eventually, he's going to have to buy his own, but that was probably the last one I handed down to him. So. So the next one's going to be on him. So he's I think I've instilled in him the knowledge to get his oil changed on a regular basis. He's been pretty good about it from day one. So I can't really complain about that at all. But you know, it makes a difference when you've got these high tech motors. Pretty much everything we have now has overhead cam and variable valve timing and variable lift on different ones. The vacuum pumps for the brake boosters, they're driven by the motor mechanically, and they're lubricated from the internal engine oil. So if they're not maintained properly, those vacuum pumps don't hold up that well because they don't get fresh oil going to them. So, yeah, we see some failures with that. We've seen it on some of our pickups because they have a belt-driven pump, but it's still lubricated. It's mounted to the motor solid and lubricated off of the oil system of the motor. Our little four-cylinder stuff, it's got a vacuum pump that's driven straight off the back of the camshaft on the head. So it's a little different setup, but when the truck pump fails, it doesn't kill it. Doesn't kill the motor, doesn't give you real problems like that. On the little motors, when they're driven off the camshaft, if they lock up and fail, they can cause you some real headaches. It's just really important to keep all that serviced. And most of our little motors like that now are turbocharged, which makes it that much more important to keep your oil changed because the turbocharger has to be lubricated off of oil and it extreme temperature and everything else. So we do have a caller online. Let's see what caller we can do for you. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what can we do for you?
Okay, so I have inherited my wife's 2010 2.5 Volkswagen Jetta.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 203,000 miles. I'm just trying to keep it up and running until we can find something that's right for us.
Right.
But it is now throwing up a misfire code on cylinder 3 and 5
mm-hmm.
and has thrown up EPC light and is having trouble starting. So I've bought new spark plugs and I've looked at some YouTube videos. I'm not an expert. But it was showing some things about the ignition coils.
Right.
Is that kind of the right path to start on when trying to troubleshoot this?
Yeah, you know, it's always good to go ahead and check and replace the spark plugs. A couple things to look for when you get in there to do the spark plugs is, one, keep all the coils in order of how they come off the motor, okay?
Right.
Because I'll get to why here in just a minute. But when you pull the plugs out, before you ever pull it out, look down in the hole and see if you see anything in there other than the spark plug. Because the valve cover itself can leak around the seals and get oil down in there. Water can get past the seals where the boot and all that is. If it gets on top of the motor and leak down in there and cause you misfire problems. And you don't want to go pull the spark plug out and let that oil and or water run down in the cylinder and then close it back up with a spark plug immediately.
Gotcha.
You know, cause if you have that sitting on top of that spark plug, you need to blow it out, wash it off, clean it before you get there. And knowing what that is, will kind of point you in the direction of what you need to do to try and correct it before you finish putting it back together. All right. Now,
okay.
With the spark plugs, once you get them out, look at the spark plugs, see if you have an oil fouled problem, whether it just looks worn. You want to look at the sides of the spark plug on the porcelain to see if you have a carbon tracking, look like someone took a pencil and just drew a line hard down the side of the spark plug.
Right.
That carbon tracking will actually show where it was arcing to ground. Once you check all that, look at it real close, put your new spark plugs in. If you have carbon tracking, replace the coil immediately. Or at least the coil boot, if it's replaceable. Most of them aren't. You have to replace the coil with the plug boot on it. Because if you put a new spark plug in and it's got that carbon tracking on the plug, that carbon tracking is also on the boot, and it will transfer back to the new plug, and you'll be right back where you're at shortly.
Yeah.
If all that looks clean, no oil, no water, put all the coils back in, except if you have 3 and 5 that are giving you a misfire, move those
right
to a cylinder and write down which ones you swapped with. say take number three and go to number one and put number one in number three, okay, and write that down. And do the same thing with number five and go to a cylinder that was good, okay? If you get a misfire and it changes to that cylinder that you move that old coil to off of that cylinder, you know you've got a coil problem, okay? And you know which one. If it did not move with the coil and you still have a misfire problem, then more than likely you may have a compression problem, you may have a injector problem, a vacuum leak, something, you know, something else causing it.
Okay. Yeah, because I ran, I put some of the SCP high mileage in to just help with cleaning everything.
Right.
And when it hits, once I get the average speed, 45, 55, whatever road I'm driving on, everything runs fine.
Right.
But we just noticed, especially when starting up, it almost doesn't even want to start, or it'll act like it shuts off and then it'll fire up.
Right, right.
So that's why I was thinking spark plugs and coils. So I will definitely do that. I appreciate the advice.
Okay. Sounds like a good place to start. If that doesn't do it, give us a call back next week.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. It's time for us to take a break and let everybody hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Move on over, stand aside my cruise control and overdrive. Need to take my baby.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's not with us tonight, but hopefully we can get him back in the studio here before too long. I was texting with him earlier, and he was talking about, feeling better, but he's lost his voice. So, you know, that's got to be something totally, totally new for him to not be able to talk. So that's got to be killing him. Yeah. So, yeah. But hopefully Tom will get back to his normal self here for long and be able to come back on air and keep us all straight like he normally does. So, right. But hey, that's all good. Always glad to hear. Here he's doing better for sure, but I know I had a little bout of what he's got, and nothing to that level whatsoever, and it was tough on me. So I know he's had a tough time with it, but anyway, we're always keeping him in our prayers, and that he will be back here for long. But anyway, it's I don't know. We're talking about maintenance and. Changing oil and how important that is, and you made the mention of fuel and the quality of the fuel that you use, and you know it's not necessarily like the oil, you know, that you can go a lot further, but it's better for it when you are using it. Fuel is kind of the same way. You have
miles
different
to the gallon almost.
You'll get a little better mileage probably with a better quality fuel, but the mileage is not really the benefit from running the better fuel. It's about like changing your oil, okay? Because the better quality fuel has a better additive package. It's cleaner. It also keeps your injectors cleaner.
Yep.
Has a better lubricating quality for our high pressure fuel systems that we have now, because our pretty much all of our vehicles now run on a high pressure injection system that has a mechanical engine driven high pressure pump that does some pretty extreme pressures for, especially when we're talking about fuel pressure. They have little bitty pistons that make really high pressure, and they don't move a whole lot. But, you know, fuel doesn't have a whole lot of lubricating qualities in it, you know. So the better fuel you run that has the better quality additives in it will make all that stuff live longer. We see problems with some of our injectors at times. these cars are not filtered like they used to be at one time, you know, where you always had the pickup sock in the tank, then you had a filter on the fuel rail, then the injector itself had a little screen in it, okay? Now, the sock in the tank for the pre-filter for the pump is your filter for the car, okay? So it's filtered there. There's no filter on the fuel rail anymore, unless you're talking about a diesel. And yes, the injectors do have, you know, some kind of little inlet screen on them just to catch the big stuff in case, you know, in case it needs to. But that being said, there's not a normal serviced filter in the fuel system anymore. So keeping a, keeping quality fuel in the car is that much more important, especially dealing with these high pressure systems. I don't know that I agree with that 100%, you know, because I've replaced too many of those long inline filters that were stopped up because of
taking on too much.
Well, yeah, I mean, because of the debris that's in the trash that's in the fuel. So, yeah, they're doing a better job at the fuel stations and all that kind of stuff, but trash still gets in fuel. I'm sorry, it does. You know, they do a better job, but it's still there. And they do a good job with the pre-filter in the tank, but that trash is still there. So it gets by, you know. So anyway, it just makes more sense to be careful. I mean, don't go to the cheapest fuel you can buy. You know, they sell your better stations sell what they call a top tier fuel. It has a specific additive package that the manufacturers and the producers of fuel have all agreed that this is the right package to have in the fuel to help keep the cars, you know, going and clean and all the above. So it's definitely a good thing to run. But and I'm not talking about having to run the premium fuel. It's the top tier fuel, you know. The premium basically talks about what kind of octane rating you have, and if you have a higher compression, higher output motor, yeah, you'll need to run the premium fuel. But most vehicles on the road can run the regular lower grade fuel, but just run a top tier brand,
yeah.
Like a you know your Shell, Chevron, BP. And there's a lot more, and they're usually very proud about it. All you have to do is look at the pump, and it'll usually have it on there that it is a top tier fuel. But you know, we were talking earlier about some of the new features in our newer vehicles, the new Tahoe for one. And I haven't gotten a chance to mess with it a whole lot yet, but I have driven a couple of them. They are actually independent rear suspension now instead of a solid rear axle. Has greatly improved the ride quality of the Tahoes. One thing I've noticed with the 19 and up body Silverados, the ride quality on those vehicles are so much better than what it was from the 18 and down truck. And I have to attribute that to the fact that it is more of a unibody style construction, not necessarily the cab and bed being made together. It still has a full frame under it, but the cab and the front structure around the core support and all the way out to the grille is all one solid component once it's all put together. Obviously, there's break points where it gets put together, but it is all a welded unit, so it takes out the flex and the movement in the structure of the vehicle, and it has really improved the ride quality of the trucks. We just have not had ride quality issues with the newer trucks that we've had in the past.
Not a shake, rattle, and roll thing.
Yeah, it stops a lot of the noises. It stops a lot of the vibrations and that kind of stuff that we've fought in the past. The frames are they're wider, they're boxed, they're taller, so they're stiffer, where at one time we had some issues with what they called beam shake, and that's been years ago, where there was too much flex in the chassis between the cab and the bed. You know, the bed was nice and solid. It kind of held everything steady. The cab had everything steady, but there was that one little 2-inch gap in between that was a flex point. And you get going down the road, and if there had a rear tire or something that was a little bit out of balance, or you hit a bump and it'd get to shaking a little bit, and what they call is a beam shake. So basically, if you took a long board and you stuck it out and you had it nailed down to the table here, but you had 4 foot out on the end, you can grab the end of it and you can bounce it, and it sits there and it jumps up and down for a little while, you know, like a tuning fork almost.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the situation we were running into, and there's really, unfortunately, there was not a fix for that. You know, you really couldn't do anything for it. But sounds like we've run up to the end of our show, and I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And hopefully we'll have Tom back here very soon. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and thank our first responders and all the people that look out for us and put their lives on line for us. And we'll be back next week.
All right.
Oh, the girl you knew the night before.